trial of preparing a sermon and coming out the other end. You guys have no idea what it's like preparing something and how the enemy comes to rob, steal, distract. And I'm very looking forward to what Johan's got to share, Father. What's not of you, I ask to fall to the ground. And what is of you, Father, let it take hold. Let it shake. Let it prune. Let it change our viewpoint. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hello, there we go. Okay, so hello everyone. As Ryan said, my name is Johan. I'm one of the elders here, but not often up front here in preaching, but I thank you for the opportunity from the other elders, and I do really think it's something on God's heart that we are working on in the last few weeks that I want to continue in. So I don't have a clue how long it's going to be. I didn't like run it through in time. So last person, I just put off the lights, then I know that's the end. So so we're currently in a series of talking about love and love one another. Ryan shared a few weeks ago about us being in covenant with one another. We are the bride of Christ, and because we are in bride of Christ, we are in covenant with Christ, we are also in covenant with one another. Rian from Edgemead came and he shared from John 15 about abiding in Christ. And I read that we abide in Christ by keeping his commandments. And I didn't have the verse here now, but the verse said, my commandment is this, love one another. So that's a way we abide in Christ, is by us loving one another. Rob shared 2 weeks ago, because last week we had the ladies, 2 weeks ago about love. Love gives, the flesh takes, but love gives, love serves. And in between all of this, we had the marriage enrichment course where some of our married couples had a time with Kevin and Mandy, and obviously love was a topic there as well, you would guess. And then a few of the guys currently doing marriage prep course. I'm sure that's something hopefully being touched on there as well, to love one another. So, I want to continue in that line, that theme, and also tonight just look at some practical handles of loving one another. Tanya Cameron Davies stole some of my notes. I don't know where she got it with hospitality, but I'll see. No, she didn't. It's the Holy Spirit that laid it on both of our hearts. So, but we'll get to that. So I want us to read a chapter from Romans, and I also always like to read a nice chunk of scripture in context. I think a book like Romans, a letter like Romans, I'm sure was read in that church. Like the whole, I expected Paul's letter, and when he came there, they read the whole one. And of some of the other letters in the Word and the New Testament as well, they are read in context, read as a whole. So we don't have time for the whole of Romans now, but I want us to read the letter. We have done it in the past, where we had a whole church service just reading the Word, and we should do that again soon. That's really good. So we're going to read Romans 12. So just don't get stuck on the verses, or whatever. Just follow with it and let God's word wash over you. But I've asked Tia, thanks. She is very, very much better in English than me. So she's gonna read it for us, and then I'll take some chunks out of that. Thanks, Tia.
Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you very much, dear. You can have a seat. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, that your word is alive and active, that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, and cutting between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, Father. And I pray that your word will come and come and change us, come and convict us, come and show us, Father, what you want to say to each one of us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So I want to start by looking at gifting. And I know in some of the communities you guys have spoken about gifting, and we all often, us as Christians, we all always want to know what's our gifting, what's our spiritual gift that God wants to give us. But I think it's very, very important to know that the gift is for someone else. Your gift that God is, a spiritual gift God is giving you, is for the benefit of others, for the benefit of encouraging and building other people up. So we're going to read about that now. You can put on verse 3 for me, Kim. Thanks. Paul says, "For the grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you." So just a confirmation that gifting is not to make me better or make my place higher, but it is to serve others. And there's different measures of faith, as that scripture says. So let's not, when our faith is strong, let's not try and like force it down on someone or convince them you must also believe that. Or when we see someone with a stronger faith and doing stuff, let's be encouraged, but not envy or jealous. I'm encouraged by Ryan coming here and like doing stuff, changing stuff in faith in the Lord, and I'm excited about it because I wouldn't have necessarily had the faith to do some of the things he's done in our congregation for everyone of our benefit. So I'm encouraged by that. And then, the looking at the specific gifts, verse 4, just as each one of us is many members, in members doesn't have the same function, so in Christ We are many from one body, and each belongs to all the others. Next one. We have different gifts. There we go. According to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Prophecy, or 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, comfort. Prophecy is not for ourselves, it is for the benefit of others. Verse 7, if it is serving, to serve, that's clear. You serve one another, there's opportunities in church to serve, to help one another, to practice that gifting. If teaching, then teach. Teaching is by its nature like teaching someone else, for the benefit of someone else, to build them up. To encourage, obviously, then give encouragement. And I think that's this important gift that we need to like work on, and even if it's not a strong gifting per se, that we continue to encourage one another. Look for the good in one another, as we love one another and encourage one another in that. If it is giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. Leading is an act of love. Leading in our context, in a church context or in a biblical context, leading is the lowest position. It is the servant to everyone. It is the person trying to make others look good in whatever context that is. It is the person that serves first. As I said, take the low position. But in the war, we're facing the enemy, the leader is the one in front. The leader is the one setting the example. The leader is the one facing the danger first on. Next one is, if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So all these gifts are for us to love one another. And just reminding again what I think Ryan read it when he spoke a few weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 13, which we know so well, if we have all the languages of angels and we can have all the prophecies and we can understand all the mysteries and the knowledge, but we do not have faith, but we do not have love. If we have faith, but we do not have love, then it's actually nothing. It means nothing. If we give everything away and we give ourselves over to hardship and to persecution, but it's not love, it means nothing. You gain nothing. So, from verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. And we often quote Acts 2:42, which says, be devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, to the fellowship and to prayer. But are we devoted to one another? Are we loving? There's a definition that I saw of devotion, is extremely loving and loyal. Extremely loving. Are we extremely loving and loyal to one another? Is getting together with one another in this context, in communities, in social gatherings, is that a priority to us? Is it important to us to be devoted to one another? If I'm not going to be at a meal or at an appointment or something that I confirm for, if I'm not going to be at church or community, do I let someone know? Do I let my leaders know so that they don't wonder what's going on or where I am and why I can't make it? I love how the CSB translation also says, verse 10, it says, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. And just to go with that, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he is your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. And I really, when I read through that, it's something that I felt God really laid on my heart, specifically for us as a congregation. And it's exciting. There's young, engaged, young married couples, people going to get engaged in our congregation, and that's exciting, and it's we all celebrate with that. And I'm personally, and those of us that are married, I'm thankful for God for my wife, and that we that she loves me, that we are best friends by far, and that we can do life together. But there's 50, 60 other ladies as well in this congregation, 50, 60 other guys that are my sisters and my brothers. And how do I treat them? Do I love them, each one of you guys? Do I love them as a brother, as a sister, as a mother, as a father? Am I devoted to loving my brothers and sisters in this congregation? Jesus has set the example for us in Mark 3:31-34. Got that, Kim? Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." So my mother is here, and it's awesome to have her here, but I've got a lot of other mothers as well, and sisters and brothers and fathers around here, because we all that is in the faith that does God's will is my brothers and my sisters and my fathers and my mothers. And I just want to zone in quickly. The young men here, the unmarried men, single guys, how do you see, if a young lady comes into the church, how do you see it? Do you see it through the world's eyes, outside appearance? What's in that for me? Horrible stuff, is there potential, that bad stuff? Or do you see her as a sister? Do you see her in the light of how God sees her? Are you willing to love her in a sisterly way, in a protector? Lay down your life, actually, for your brothers and sisters, in a non-romantic way, obviously, without you getting anything out of it. Are you willing to lay down your life for one another? We don't hunt like the world, young men. We do it in God's way. We do it in God's way. We build family. We build friendship, and from there, let God put together who He wants to be together and who He wants to give you. Thank you, my Brooke Beaver. The friend zone is a good place. It's good. Use that. It's a foundation for building a long-lasting marriage and relationship. It's a good place. Don't despise that. And we are brothers and sisters, and until we marry, that's basically the two relationships we have in church. We're either married or we are brothers and sisters. So every lady but Tanya is my brother, my sister or mother. And other way, you understand what I'm saying. So Ivia, tot jylle getrouwd is, put in sissy. I'm for now. Cool. Let's go on. Honor one another above yourselves. Kim, what was that? I think it was 10. Honor one another above yourselves. Again, the CSB translates this very well. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Some of you might remember I used this scripture a few weeks ago when the new community leaders came in as well. And God just wanted to speak through this chapter again. But outdo one another in showing honor. So those of you that's competitive, that is like your worst side comes out when we play 30 seconds or Catan or something, here's something you can be competitive about. Outdo one another in showing honor. Showing one another honor. A definition for honor that Google gave, is high regard or a great respect given to someone. Do we honor one another? When I say, Ryan used the example, when I say I love him, because the word calls me to love him, I love him, but I don't like him really much. Is that honoring? I don't think so. When we gossip, when we slander in any way, is that honoring? And I want to take a quick pause here, not only because the word says honoring, but I want to do it. I want to honor my mother, and I've done it in the past. Some of you might have heard me, but I want to do it again because I always could do it. As someone that always showed me Jesus, that always loved him, that always loved us as children, and when I was 6 years old, and I don't have a clue what happened, but I just felt I needed to get Jesus in my heart because my mom and dad modeled that to us. Then I could run to her and say, "Mom, I want to accept Jesus." She explained it to me. She prayed with me. Praise the Lord. He's never left me or forsake me. She's never left me or forsake me. She has done well in raising and nurturing us as children. And especially since my dad died when I was 12 years old, she continued to do it. So, yeah, it's an honor to have you here, and I love you, and yeah, it's cool. Now, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. That is very cool, that force of the words. Be joyful in hope, verse 12. It does not say, be joyful when I've received something. Be joyful when I receive my breakthrough. Be joyful when I've, received healing or got a promotion or something great happened. But he says, be joyful in hope without knowing the outcome, without having the preferred outcome. It's continue to be joyful. Be patient in affliction. And we will, James 1 also says, we will face trials in this world. We will face resistance. We will face persecution because we are not of this world. And Andrew's series on Babylon is great to explain that as well. We're passing through this world. If your aim in this life is to have a great life now before you die, it's actually very short-sighted, and it's not having eternity in mind. We are just passing through this life. Let's be obedient. Let's honor the Lord. Let's do His will and do what He says. But let's not be stuck in this world and the ways of this world, and what this world says success is or what you should do. And then faithful in prayer. And that's actually the way we don't know what's the right word, not escape this world, but just connect with eternity and connect with God that is outside of this world and bigger than this world is through prayer. Afrikaans. Oh, they opened that for me. Let's be faithful in prayer. And again, we have got various prayer meetings as well. We can pray together, but I think it's very important. You need to pray on your own and in your inner room, getting to Jesus, finding Him. Then verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So I just want to see, there's probably going to be a few duplications with what Tanya said, but I'll keep going. So just in helping others again, we said it last year as well, but I want to thank you guys for those that specifically in our pantry account where we help those in need that have contributed there, but also just in general, we've guys supplied or gave meals, helped people in different ways with whatever there was. And please continue to do that. As we love one another. But then hospitality as well, also to Tanya and myself, it's something dear to our heart, and it was a bit difficult in the last while because we moved into a little bachelor's flat, but it's not impossible. Let me tell that. Everyone that's living in a bachelor flat or in a room or in a caravan, it is possible to be hospitable and to have people for coffee, to invite someone to, have people over. Sometimes, Albie will tell you, sometimes you, if you come to us for a coffee, you might have to help move some boxes and pack out some stuff. Thank you for that. anything is possible. But, let's be hospitable. In a month's time, for us, for Tanya and myself, we'll hopefully our renovations will be done and our welding work will be done. And then we're looking forward to opening our house again. And every one of you are invited. I'm honest. Each one of you are invited. Don't wait for a WhatsApp or something. This is your invite. Every one of you are invited. Come to me or come to Tanya, that we get a date. But everyone is invited to our house. I don't know for what, maybe it's a glass of water, but but our company, eh? something on opening our houses. So open houses comes from an open heart. If your heart is closed off, then you won't be able to open your house. The hospitality is not based on the size of your house or the stock in your fridge or the money you have or anything like that, but it's based on the condition of your heart. And there's one few issues, I've just got two here, that maybe might stop you from opening from your heart being open and thus opening your house. The one is pride. If my house is not perfect, then I don't want anyone. Like, I need 3 days to clean up my house before I can invite someone just for a cup of coffee or something, because everything needs to be perfect and fixed and whatever the case is. And that is pride. That is not being open. That is not being family. If I tell my mom we're coming, or I don't even tell her we're coming, we're just pitching up at her house, she's not going to say, oh, no, you didn't warn me for 4 days and I couldn't prepare, whatever. She's going to love it that we are there. And the same if she comes to us. The other one that might stop us from opening our hearts is shame. I don't want others to see how I live. I don't want them to experience my cooking or my children, how they behave or whatever the case is. That is shame. And we should deal with that and get rid of it. And be family to one another and love one another in that. On the other side is the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. So Jesus went to the house of Martha. I must just get this. Yeah, the house of Martha. And she was busy preparing everything and getting the food right and working hard. And then she went. But her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching. And Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But then the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So money, possessions, houses, and all those things can be taken away. They're not going to go with us in eternity, but time spent with people is what cannot be taken away, which is going to stay with us. The influence we have in someone's life or the influence they have in our life cannot be taken away from us. Spending time with people is better than like spending money or just serving them. But to listen and to spend time with one another. Time together is where values are shared and we really get to know one another and get to know God through one another's lives as well. Spending time together around a meal, worship time, chat, board games, braai, whatever the case is. Spend time together. Don't get caught up in giving someone an amazing experience like hiding in the kitchen, like Martha, because of you must make this amazing food or this amazing experience for people and you don't get time to connect with them because that they can just get in a hotel as well and It might even be a better experience, but it's not about that. It's about spending time with them. And just to the final thing on this point, do you have Hebrews 13 for me there? I've seen it later or not. Oh, great. Thanks, Kim. Just if what I said and Tanya said earlier that didn't convince you yet, hopefully this one will. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So the CSB says, be hospitable because some people have done it and have welcomed angels into their house by being hospitable. So use that one then and trust God for that one if nothing else convinced you. Then let's go to verse 14, Kim, back in Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do we bless when we face an unjust situation at work? When somebody, accuse us unjustly? Do we bless them? Or do we hate them, curse them, gossip to someone else about them? The popular example is always if a car cuts in front of you, a taxi cuts in front of you. Do you bless him or do you not? what do you do? Do we bless those who give us trouble, who make life difficult for us, or do we curse them? Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Liz East, that was here, Ryan shared. She gave us as leaders some training over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. And she shared a story about them in a City Bowl congregation. One of the elders, they lost their baby at full term, stillborn or something like that in the morning. And they cried with them and wept with them. And then in the evening they went to a birthday party and they celebrated again with that people. And we need to be able to do that. I was just seeing Shanae now and thinking we celebrated with her when her uncle came out of hospital 40 days, after 40 days, 46 days, something in ICU. 60. Wow, okay. We celebrated that. But Tareen and Nika, their grandma and grandpa didn't come out of ICU alive. They're with the Lord now. And we mourned with them. We wept with them. That is life. That is what we do together. We don't have to be always happy and celebrating. There's going to be times where we weep and where we mourn and where we cry with one another. But we shouldn't just do the one or just do the other. We should love one another in every way. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. The Lord just convicted me this morning when I read this verse again, and it's not to put anything on anyone of the leaders that was here over the weekend. It's just my Lord speaking to me, but there was three homeless people sitting here outside the building over the weekend, like under the roof, trying to get protection from the rain. And I came in, out a few times, and I didn't speak once to them. And God convicted me this morning about that. It takes nothing from me to just say hi, just say hello, just say or something about that. Them show interest in them, but I didn't do it. So. Yeah, let's be ready for those opportunities. Let's show love because that's what I thought of. What did I display? We're coming to a church and we worshiping and serving the Lord. But what am I showing if I walk out here and just ignore people and go home and have food and enjoy the warm bed? So that's that one. Now, let's go to verse 17. Paul goes on, he takes it a bit further away from us as the church. He says, do not repay anyone with evil. Be careful that you do what is right in the eyes of everybody. That's not easy. that is not easy to get that right. But try to do that. If it is possible, he says in verse 18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now the question is, now that we know what we should do, how do we do it? A few of these things I said is difficult, and sometimes we just slide almost. We slide into not keeping up loving one another, or continue to be hospitable, or whatever those things are. And I think the key lies of how we do this in verse 1 and 2, actually, of Romans 12. So you can go right up again, Kim. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the first thing. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then the second thing, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. As I said earlier, for the young guys, but it's for all of us. Do we, like Nigel also shared in the worship, do we embrace this Babylon we're living in? Do we embrace the world and what the world says to us, and what the world says is the most important topics of the day, and what should our focus be, and how should we approach things? Or do we take the word, do we read the word, and do we ask the Holy Spirit to open up to us how we should love one another, how we should relate to one another, where we can help, where we can encourage? Do I ask the Holy Spirit, who can I today just send a message to encourage them? Lord, who needs encouragement? In that way, renewing our minds. And then, the first one, of to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then maybe just one last question is, why do we do this? Now, you can put verse 1 back on. If you remember when Tia started, and there it is, therefore. Therefore always means something happened before that. And the therefore in here is basically the whole of Romans 12. So I want to, the whole of Romans, sorry, 1 to 11. I want to encourage you guys to go and read that tonight, in the week, in the next 2 weeks, however it is. Go and read it of why verse 12 can start with, therefore, do all these things. But I'll just read the last few verses before Romans 12, from 11, from verse 33. Thanks, Kimi. You're doing well up there. Oh, the depth of riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable is his judgment and his path, beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, love one another. Because of him, because of God, because we want to love him and honor him and please him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life for each one of us, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming back for your bride. Not lots of different brides, one bride. one bride, one family, one kingdom of God. Coming back to take us into eternity with you. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for church, Lord. Thank you that we can meet as this group, Father. And I, yeah, thank you that you have placed each one here, that you have seen here, God. And it's not coincidence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To you be all the glory and the honor and the praise and dominion. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. And I do, I know we've done it earlier, but I do want to give opportunity again. If you do not know this Jesus, if you, I don't know everyone here, if you do not have a relationship with this Jesus, if you do not know that you are with him for eternity, that your salvation is secured in him, if you feel you only have this life until you die and then it's done, and that's the end. But you know God has touched you, something convinced you, convicted you, that there is more. There is more than just this life. There is more than just this, what I see around me. There's something greater. So there's a God that is greater, bigger than this world, but that's also personal and wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. So if that is you and you feel touch, you feel a burning in your heart to ask, how do I be saved? How do I know this Lord? How can I come into a relationship with him? And I want to just ask you again, if you can raise your hand just for me. I just want to see who it is and who I pray with. And then, thank you. And I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Awesome. That's awesome. Anyone? Guys, if we don't present you guys with Jesus and with the gospel when we are here, if we don't use these opportunities to give you an opportunity to get to know him, then it's actually not much reason why we are here. We are here because of Jesus, and so that everyone knows Jesus. So I thank you very much for those two ladies that raised their hands. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that want to respond to Jesus? And I'll pray with you. I want to ask those two ladies that raise your hands just afterwards to come. My wife and I will be here, that you will just quickly come chat to us, and then we'll speak to you and explain to you, maybe if you've got questions, what happened. But Father, I thank you for those that raised their hands, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you came tonight, Lord, and touched lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are in the business of restoration. You are in the business of drawing people onto yourself, Lord Jesus. That you that you want every man to be saved, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, for these ladies, Lord, that as they are responding to you, Father, that they would get to know you, God, closely, that they would experience your love, get to know your love, Lord Jesus, that we as a family would love them as well, God, that they would experience your family, your body, on earth, in the church, Lord. Father, and that hope would be restored, Father, that eternity, a vision, an internal vision would be restored to them, Lord Jesus. Father, and I pray for the church. I thank you for your word and your season, Father, of just encouraging us to love one another. You say in your word that everything will pass away, but only three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, Lord. So it's something that we would always work on and encourage one another in, Father. And I pray, Father, that we would really be a people that love one another, that give ourselves to one another, that lay down our lives to one another, that lay down our comfort and convenience and time and whatever that is, Father, that we hold onto selfishly, that we will lay down for one another and love one another. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here with us, and it's all about you, God. It is all about you, Lord. You are so good, Lord. Thank you for touching lives during worship as well, God, and just people turning back to you and taking on that cloak of righteousness, Father, that you have given to us. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. I actually want to, before you guys stand up, I want to challenge you. We had a cool thing with the leaders' time this week. There's a session and then there's an activation. Then you like need to step out and speak and talk about it. So I've got a huge challenge for you guys. I want you guys, each one, to tonight, before you go out, to speak to someone you don't know or don't know well, and to make a time to have a coffee or have a meal or do whatever. It's not limited to your house necessarily. You can take a flask of Rick Coffee to the Sonstrol Dam and share a coffee there or whatever the case is. But I do want to challenge you guys because I just felt the confirmation when Tanya also shared earlier about the hospitality. Because it's something you now think, yes, let's do it. And then in a month's time, you haven't yet invited to someone or spoke to someone. So, yeah, sorry, I don't overstep, but... Do you still want to say something? Oh, remember next week, 5:30? So we're welcome to like between 4 and 5 next week to have your coffee with someone. That's an ideal time if you didn't know what you're going to do. You can do that. But next week, 5:30, we're getting together here. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. Be blessed. And see you through the week.